All right, everyone, welcome back. This week, week 21, really only week 20 together with me and you, though, because Sam filled in 1 week. But week 21 of Fundamentally Sound, your guys, as always, Reeves from Barstool, Ben Brust, former Wisconsin player. Ben, what's going on, man?
I was hoping you were going to do it. Do
there
you know
zero
what I was
chance
thinking?
I was doing it.
Yeah, there was zero chance you were throwing it in there, but I'll get you to have it slip one day.
Yeah, that it'll be the episode where we're both hammered again.
Yeah.
Maybe a live episode.
Yeah, we're back though. It's nice. It's nice to be back. I feel like it's been a while.
Well, we usually record on Tuesdays, and we're recording later on Wednesday night.
Yeah, that's true. This is one of our later recorded episodes, which,
yeah.
Again, shout out to Tommy, because that means he's got to
get
it later from us.
Either first thing in the morning like he always does.
First thing in the morning. Yeah, so really appreciate him helping us out. But I'm really excited that we have a lot of good questions come through Twitter. A lot of people are asking about my favorite question is we're going to get into later. You name a all 2000 to now Kentucky or Wisconsin team, and I have to name a all to 2000 Kentucky team.
Yeah,
and then we'll vice versa talk about what team we think the team should be, and then we'll jump into some best centers of all time. What do we want to see as the Christmas slate?
Yeah, that question was asked.
Did it?
That question was asked to me, not in relation to this. This was about a week and a half ago, and I forget what triggered the guy to ask me that, but I loved the question. I thought it was really good. With the schedule got released, obviously, earlier this week, so it kind of coincided well.
Something similar, you know, that I just found out is there's going to be three Wisconsin Friday night games. Did you see this at all? Like, I don't know if they're doing this with the SEC.
For basketball, you mean, right? Like the non-conference?
They're doing conference games on Fridays.
Conference, I mean?
That it's so weird to me, and I hate it. It doesn't make sense. And, why would you want to go against the NBA on a Friday?
Yeah, well,
it's all TV-driven. I just don't get it.
Well, half the problem is the NBA started doing the Saturday night thing. Like, that was dumb. Like, they never should have gave the NBA Saturday night. Like, they do the ABC primetime Saturday night, and it goes against Saturday night, like the Saturday night game of the night. They should have left Saturday for college basketball. Like NBA dominates Sunday afternoon.
And they dominated Friday night. I always bet it when I'm out at the bar and I got nothing to do but watch like a 16-point spread that Cleveland had at home or Golden State or whatever. Like that is what Fridays were for. Saturday was 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. college basketball nonstop. And I don't like why they're changing that.
Yeah, I don't. Plus, you lose a channel then with ESPN because the NBA game's on ABC, and you could, in theory, run, you know, an ACC or a Big 12 game on ABC with the game of the week on ESPN, or vice versa.
Let's get into a little bit more of that later.
Yeah.
I think we don't even have to pick a player, each of us, you know what I mean? Let's not pick a player.
Well, we're picking the same one, I'm assuming.
We're picking the same one for many reasons. His nickname is basically the name of our show.
Right. And I'm not a Kevin Garnett guy.
you're not
Garnett
anything
is
possible wannabe. Screaming.
Kevin Garnett is...
When you don't like people, it usually takes me a second. I go, why wouldn't Reeves like
I
him?
I just never...
Oh. Played for Boston.
Minnesota. Like I was just never a Garnett fan, and yeah, I was always such a Duncan guy.
Yeah, again, you always say that. You always go back to before they
but
were against
Minnesota forever.
He did, but he also won championships with the team that you hate the most.
Singular. He won a championship.
Championship. When's the last time your team did?
Yeah, it happened.
What year?
1973, baby.
73. The Mecca.
Yeah.
Mecca.
Most overrated goddamn franchise in America.
Maybe Patrick Ewing would have made our top five centers list if he won a championship.
He's in my top five centers list.
Oh, that's because you're a Knicks fan. We'll get to that later. Tim Duncan.
This is the Tim Duncan episode.
The Tim Duncan episode.
Yeah. I mean, this is we were
what's his,
like.
What's his official nickname?
The Big Fundamental.
The Big Fundamental.
Right.
And we are the Fundamentally Sound Podcast.
Yeah, I mean, this was a
match made in heaven.
This was a no-brainer. Absolutely.
Yeah, this didn't even have to go to Basketball Reference and look through and be like, who should I debate here? Like, it's a no-brainer. Any college 21s though?
I mean, there are a bunch of 21s.
Shout out to Josh Gasser.
Yeah, your boy.
Why do I call him Gasser? I know his name's Gasser. So much for him being my boy.
Yeah, no longer your boy.
Yeah. Josh Gasser, number 21 at Wisconsin.
I'm trying to think of like what 21s really stick out. Everyone, there's always a 21.
Duhon,
Trajan Langdon were 21.
I feel like Duhon stands out a lot more than him.
I'm trying to think. Well, Langdon was good back in the day. I'm trying to think like who all wore 21 for Kentucky. I don't know if there's really been a standout. Oh, my guy Todd Lanter. I mean, he was 21. I mean, there's every team wears 21. I'm just trying to remember who else wore it. But it doesn't matter. It's the Tim Duncan episode.
It's a Tim Duncan episode.
All right, so let's get into it.
Again, I lost you for a second. Ooh, I know a 21. Who? Malcolm Brogdon, I think. Was he 21?
Well, he was 15, I believe.
He's 15. He's 15, you're right.
Yeah, because Justin Anderson was 1, Brogdon was 15, Joe Harris was 12.
What was Toby?
Toby was...
If you know this, I'll just laugh.
I'm trying to think. He wasn't... Somebody was 51, but that wasn't Toby.
No.
Toby was... Oh, what the hell was he? I can picture it.
You have 5 more seconds.
Was he 12?
No, he was not 12. I'll give you 24. One more guess. It's higher than that.
24.
10.
Oh, that's right. I knew it started with a 1. I was trying to sit there and picture it. All right.
That's all unreal, right, though, that you can come that close to frickin' Toby.
Yeah, Mike Toby. I watch too much basketball.
Way too much. And your memory is just weird.
Yeah, like I said, I've had a photographic memory since the day I was born. Like, I've always just been able to remember things by just looking at them.
I want to start with the question where you're going to name the Wisconsin team and I'm going to name the Kentucky team. Because yeah, I think that's the most fun question.
That's a good one. So I went with you could not have played college in 1999. You had to be a freshman in the 2000-2001 season to be eligible for this. So that was kind of the one stipulation I had. And I tried to make it a real team. Like, I didn't try to take 5 bigs or 5 guards.
That's what I tried to do, even though I got a little front court heavy, which is very easy to do with Kentucky.
Same with Wisconsin, too. So my Wisconsin team, I have Devin Harris, Sam Decker, Frank Kaminsky, John Lohr, and Alondo Tucker.
Okay. Those Am I supposed thoughts. To react?
I mean, I would think that's who most people would probably come up with.
I would have something different.
Would you say, though, Harris, Decker, and Kaminsky are 3 locks?
No.
Really?
I'm not going to put Sam Decker in that.
Really?
And I do love Sam, but in terms of college career, like, I'm going to do Devin Harris. Jordan Taylor as a junior was unbelievable. Like, I'd never play with a guy like it. Jordan Taylor, Devin Harris, those are my guards. Orlando Tucker, John Lewis, and Frank Kaminsky. Frank.
Yeah, I mean, so we have 4 out of the 5.
Yeah, and that's not a knock on right. Sam. That's right. that's just the reality of the cards he was kind of dealt with in college playing for Bo.
Right. I would still...
He had, and Sam had such a huge 2015 in that tournament. Was that 2015? Yeah, 2015 in that tournament, that it kind of automatically propels him to the top, because that's what his career will be remembered as, which is how it should be. But in terms of, if I was going to pick that team based off the body of work, I would do Devin, Jordan, Frank, John, and Orlando.
Devin, Jordan, Frank, John. Okay.
Makes sense?
I don't think there's a lot of, and this isn't a knock on Wisconsin, I don't think there are a lot of options for the all 2000 team. Like, I think there's really dude, only.
Dude, when I was putting together the Kentucky team, I was like, dude, I got too many options.
Right.
This
but
is,
I think
is impossible.
Like Wisconsin, I think if when we put this out there.
Those are the six.
I was going to say there might be one or two more.
I would challenge somebody to try and add another player to that six of a list.
Right. I mean, people probably – I wouldn't be surprised if people say Bronson at some point. I'm just saying. I'm trying to guess what other people will say.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's very reactionary. It's recent. You know, like, that's what people will say.
Right.
And he did hit some huge shots, but I would not put him in the category of Jordan Taylor.
Yeah, no. I think there's really only, like, seven or eight guys, though, that can truly be considered for the all-2000s team.
I'm excited to share my team here.
All right, let's hear. What do you got for Kentucky?
Gosh, it's
– there's two locks.
I don't know. I don't know if you're going to like this at all or if you're going to be like, what's wrong with you? But John Wall is number one, my point guard.
Yeah, John Wall is one of the five best players in Kentucky basketball history.
So my two guard, Jody Meeks.
Yeah. Yep, I would have that too.
Okay. I loved watching Jody Meeks. I thought he was awesome.
Jody Meeks' junior year was unreal.
Do you know who my three man is?
Michael Kidd.
Carl Anthony Towns. Can I do that?
I mean, you can. I don't know if I would have him on there, though.
And this is where it gets fishy of, like, how you choose who's on there and who's not on there.
The way I'm looking at it, this is, like, just Kentucky.
Yeah. What do you mean just Kentucky?
Like, just what they did at Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, just what they did at Kentucky. I mean, dude, he was – if he's not on that team, they're not 38 now.
Yeah, but there's just so many other – there's a million options for Kentucky.
And then Anthony Davis is a lock. He's on there.
Yeah, him and Wall are the two locks.
Him and Wall, Jody makes it the two. And again, this is – I was debating myself on these other two because I didn't know who to put because I was trying to make a team and I was trying to make it fit. And it's just on the body work of Kentucky. Didn't want to jump ahead to what they've been doing in the pros. Like Devin Booker, I wouldn't put him on there.
Right.
Even though he's obviously one of the top five guys you'd pick out of the 2000s to come out of college and play in the NBA almost. He would be my two guard if that's how I was doing it.
Right.
But Boogie's my other.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. There's a lot of recency with them too. When you go back,
Keith Bogans.
I was gonna say when you go back to like the 2003-04 team, and like the 2002-03 team, like Chuck Hayes is a guy that you could throw out there.
Yeah, you could. He had a really good NBA. He had a solid NBA career as well.
Right, like Cliff Hawkins, Gerald Fitch. Those two guys you could throw out there. I'm trying to think like who else. Like Clint Azubuki wasn't bad. He was he was inconsistent though.
But again, I would still take a lot of others over them.
Right, but I'm saying like these are names. I'm just doing the thing where okay, what
are
the names?
Who will people say?
I mentioned Michael Gilchrist. I'm trying to think like who else. Who am I missing back from the day that could possibly sneak on there?
I mean, I think we did a really good, like, grade my team. I think I did a pretty good job.
I give it a B plus.
Okay. B plus. Because of my last two of Towns and Boogie.
Yeah. Yeah, just because I truly wonder.
Kid Gilchrist was on the fence. He was going to be my three.
Kid Gilchrist, you could throw out there. Patrick Patterson. I mean, he was
Patterson. He was on my list too.
So it's one of those. It's tough because with Towns, it's hard to judge because they did the platoon system, so he didn't put up like the gaudy numbers that he could have that other guys did.
I didn't want that to be a reason why he.
I know, I know, but when you're taking.
When you're looking at it, you're like, well, he didn't do it, though. But you're right. I don't want it to take away.
Right. So it's tough, like, looking at him in this in this situation. I'm trying to think, like, who else, if there's anyone else really back in the day, and I'm looking, yeah, I think, you know, maybe Keith Bogans, you can make a legit case for, but
Bogans,
he,
Kid Gilchrist, and Patrick Patterson were my outside three.
Yeah, man, it's weird trying to say, like, do you take off Towns or Cousins or...
Well, then I'm going to put you on the spot because I gave you my five. Give me your five.
All right, Wall and Davis are my two locks. I would go... I'd go Jody Meeks. I would go... Oh, man. I'd probably go Kid Gilchrist. I was a sucker for Kid Gilchrist. And I would go... Patrick Patterson or Boogie.
Okay. Yeah, see that, like...
Yeah, I mean, there's not nine names.
That was my team I debated as well. It's the same type thing. You would think there'd be, you know, more combinations, but at the end of the day, the cream rises to the top.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, it's like you lose right off the bat, like, a point guard because John Wall's the point guard if you're doing, like, a legit team, all 2000s team, which, like, guys like Brandon Knight, who's really fucking good, you know, even, like, a Keith Bogans or, like, a Gerald Fitch, someone like that could get overlooked because you're immediately like, well, it's John Wall.
And then you look at Jody Meeks at the two. I mean, the guy averaged 24 points a game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his junior year was ridiculous.
He was so good.
Yeah, I think there's – I would go nine. I think there's about nine names for Kentucky that you could kind of put together and you won't hear too many arguments.
So Towns, Davis, Meeks, Wall, Boogie, Patrick Patterson, Kid Gilchrist, Bogans.
I think that's the nine that you could probably –
I just said eight.
Who are we forgetting then? I'll tell you what. Fucking, like, Jamal Murray might have to be in that category.
I know.
And Malik Monk. Fuck, like.
No.
Malik Monk had arguably the best year ever for a Calipari player.
I mean, I get it. But, again, I feel like he's a beneficiary of what's been built.
But he also, like, if you take Jody Meeks, you have to make the case for Malik Monk.
No.
I think you do. I'm starting to lean Malik Monk over Jody Meeks, actually, the more I think about it.
Well, hopefully we can get a Twitter poll out to Kentucky fans, because I'd be interested to see who they would say.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because there's definitely...
Because there's going to be people who are like...
There's a lot of combos.
Yeah, there's going to be people who are like, man, what Jody Meeks did was awesome, and then those people
and
are
going to
be...
And it was. Like, I don't want this list to become disparage player A to make a case for player B.
No, they're obviously all-timers.
Right. Like, everyone we said was probably an All-American at one team from one listing. Like, it's – these guys are all really, really fucking good.
Yeah, good question. I don't know who came up with
that.
Yeah,
I forgot to put the name. That was a good question. All of these came from somebody, so.
Shout out to you who was listening.
Shout out to all the listeners.
You did a good job, and everyone else listening to that segment, thank you. Now, let's go to – if you had to pick a slate of Christmas Day games like the NBA has for college hoops, forget when the times are.
It's like noon, 3 o'clock, 5:30, 8, 10:30.
It's spread out.
Yeah. So it's really – you know, you're thinking about it's the early game, kind of the matinee – the main meal, prime time, and then late night. So the way I thought about this was just this year. So this is – you're making the schedule for this year. It's not every year, you know, everything like that. So I took into consideration, obviously, geography. You're not going to play an East Coast game with a 10:30 tip.
You know, yeah, so you take us through what you got.
Right.
And I got a couple that I was thinking of, but I also want to – you know, kind of come up with three others.
So my noon game is Syracuse at Villanova. Give me the old Big East. A lot of people, like, that's one that all, like, the dads and uncles and grandpas can sit around and talk about.
Dads and uncles.
Well, like the old big ones.
Like they can reminisce about how in the '80s, the Cario Journal, like all that.
Right, and the only reason I'm going Syracuse at Nova is Nova's gonna be really good this year. Georgetown and Connecticut. Georgetown sucks this year. Connecticut's we have no idea what to expect with them. Same thing with Syracuse. So you just kind of pick your poison. Like I don't want two suspect teams. Like Nova deserves to be there. So I'm going Cuse at Nova. My 3 o'clock game is Missouri at Kansas. Wildly underrated rivalry. Obviously Missouri this year is kind of must watch with the Porter brothers and Jeremiah Tillen and Ken Quanzo Martin do a good job coaching. So I'm going Missouri Kansas at 3. My main game is Duke at Kentucky. Just make them play. I'm giving Kentucky the home game because they fit more people. That's the sole reason why.
That's stupid.
It's the sole reason why. I mean,
stupid though. I mean, it'd be way more fun at Cameron.
Well, you can do that then the next year. Like, why would it be more fun at Cameron?
Just because it's Cameron, dude.
Okay, well, just because it's rough.
No, I love the atmosphere. If you're gonna do Christmas Day, like that would just be so hyped at Cameron.
So same with Rupp.
I get it, but there's something about Cameron. It's a little more prestigious than Rupp.
I mean, that's the tough thing is Rupp and Cameron are both like should be hosting a game, but you want Duke and Kentucky to play each other.
Yeah, I don't think it matters too much at this point, but I like the game.
My 8 o'clock game.
I like this game. I think this is kind of a cool matchup.
Is UNC at USC.
Why there? Because it's West Coast time now?
I'm giving two West Coast – right. So it's going to be 5 o'clock out West. I'm just giving two West Coast games.
Yeah, but you got UNC flying all the way to USC.
I know. That's the one bad thing. But there's also no classes, so they're able to do it.
Yeah, forget their families.
I mean, you play in the Bahamas on Thanksgiving.
All right, cool. So far, I like it.
My last game is Arizona at Gonzaga.
Arizona at Gonzaga.
They play. They always play.
I like that one because I'm trying to think of West Coast teams that you could do this for.
There's not a lot.
There's not a lot. There's not a lot of good games.
Like you can throw out UCLA, and then it's really it's like the West Coast teams this year. It's like Arizona, St. Mary's, Gonzaga, UCLA, and USC.
So let me – I didn't want to choose any of the teams that you already picked, so right. I tried to think pretty different here. What do you think about Michigan State? Don't know how you left them out of game here.
I just couldn't find a good matchup for them.
Xavier.
That's an interesting one. It's somewhat close location-wise.
Mm-hmm. Both on East Coast time.
Yep, and it's not too far of a travel for either team. Both will be good this year. I like it because it's also a game that you don't see. Like that's the other thing I tried to do.
It's an intriguing matchup. You don't see these teams play ever.
Right.
Let's see here. What about I'm trying to think some teams from. The ACC.
Someone threw this one out, and I don't hate it. Miami at Florida. Both teams are going to be good this year. You get the Florida rivalry. I think that's a good suggestion.
Do you know what should be – you know how Big Cat's got the Christmas Day unders?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love the Christmas Day unders. You know what would be, like, hell for everybody? Because we had this matchup before. Wisconsin and Virginia. Oh. First game, 11 a.m.
no one wants to watch that.
You know what I mean, though? That would be hilarious.
Yeah, no one would want to watch that.
That would be like, hey, good morning, it's college basketball on.
That's a good way to lose interest early.
Here's Christmas Day under at 112 is the line.
Yeah, like you can't put a team like – can't put a team like Virginia on Christmas. I don't know if you can put a team like Wisconsin on Christmas either.
No, you can't.
What about
I mean, they already do this. I do love that weekend of IU Butler and Purdue.
The Crossroads Classic.
Yeah, the Crossroads Classic. I do love that. I think they already have that set, so you can't.
Yeah, no, I'll say keep that the way it is.
Keep that the way it is. Because I was thinking of other schools. It's like Indiana crossed my mind. What about like Indiana Dayton?
No, just because the only storyline there is Archie. Like, it's not – like, Dayton's not going to be that good this year.
You were saying you wanted to do it based off this year, and so that's what I thought of.
Right, but I'm just saying like,
I'm just throwing stuff out there.
If Dayton was good this year, then yeah, that'd be intriguing. I'm trying to think like a good Indiana Louisville would be a good one.
Yeah.
They're only about 2 hours away from each other, 3 hours away from each other.
And you got obviously Patino.
Right.
As much as this is about the players, I think this would be cool, like to put some coaching matchups out there.
Right. And the one thing with this year though is like I don't know how good Indiana's gonna be.
No. Yeah.
So like that's one reason like I left Indiana off. Michigan State I left off just because I couldn't find a good matchup for them. Same thing with Louisville. And I wanted to avoid. I didn't want to do like somebody threw out like. Kentucky and Louisville should play on Christmas Day every year. It's like, no. Like, I don't like that idea at all.
No, I don't like it either.
Same thing with, like, Cincinnati Xavier. Just, like,
those got to be – yeah, those got to be how they are always have been.
Right.
Xavier-Cincinnati is one of the better underrated rivalries.
I think it's the third best rivalry in basketball.
There's just a lot of hatred.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the third best rivalry behind – Kentucky, Louisville, and Duke, UNC. And then I go Cincinnati Xavier is number three.
What about like the Q's Georgetown used to be a thing, but now it's not.
You could say like Q's Georgetown. Like I just don't know the order. I put this on the Twitter poll once, and I need to do it again. I think I asked Syracuse fans, who do you consider a bigger rival, Georgetown or Connecticut?
They would say Georgetown.
It was a split. I forget. Like I'll go back and find it. I might put that out there again now because I did it with like 4,000 followers. I'll do it again now with a little bit more. And I think somebody said like the older people would say whatever team and younger people would say the other team. I think it was like older people would say Georgetown, younger people would say Connecticut.
That probably makes more sense.
So
that
it's like that's
sense.
Tough because and then like how do you leave
the old timers?
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
That was
a good question.
Three best rivalries, so.
Yeah, I mean that was a good question about the Christmas Day games. I think that would dynamic like it does in the NBA. It would dynamically change based off star power, coaches,
why Missouri's in it this year.
Yeah, that's before 2 weeks ago they wouldn't even been a thought.
Right. I remember like someone I put this out. Someone's like, "Oh, you want to see Missouri get killed by 30 at Fog Allen?" And it's like. Well, it's still Missouri, and it's still a rivalry, so yeah, let's see what happens.
Man, we haven't even talked Bagley at all.
Yeah, we're saving that for the end.
Okay.
We're already in questions, so we got to go Bagley at the end.
Yeah, let me go back to the questions.
Let's stick with the NBA theme. The best centers of all time, top five. So I did it two ways. I did all time, and then I did who I've seen play.
Okay, I didn't see that. I was just doing all
time. I did that just because I like and don't like arguing about older generations because, like, I don't know how good they were. I mean, I do, but I don't. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So my
go with it all time, and then I'll go with my all time.
My all time top five is, and this is in no order: Hakeem, Shaq, Wilt. Bill Russell, and Kareem.
Yeah, I mean, this was actually kind of an easy question, to be honest.
I think that's the clear top five.
Easy because there's locks.
I think all five of these are locks, honestly.
So I went with Shaq. And this is not in any order. Shaq, Wilt, Kareem... Bill Russell, and David Robinson, though.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think Hakeem was better than Shaq, and both are better than David Robinson. Like, Hakeem was silly. Like, I'm a little bit older than you, so I remember watching him, like, 94, 95, like, peak Hakeem.
Yeah, like, I don't remember that.
Right, like, that dude was, like...
The 4 years that you have on me were the 4 years that you spent watching and remembering.
Yeah, that was, and those were, like, the blurry years for you.
The blurry years, I like that.
But, like,
shout out to Jack White for the question.
Yeah, yeah.
Friend of the show.
Hakeem was a player, like, his moves were things
compare him to somebody.
What'd you say?
Compare him to somebody.
I don't think there's anyone to compare him to.
He was just the dream.
Like, yeah, I mean, he was the first of his kind, and we've kind of gone away from the center position, so there's not someone to really compare him to.
Well, I hate to say they've gone away from the center position.
It's just a new... It's not the same, obviously.
It's, you like, there are centers, they're just different type of centers.
Right, so...
Unless you're Mozgov.
Yeah, unless you're Mozgov.
Or
Zaza. Let's get into top five of players we've seen, because it's a little easier to talk about that. I have
just players we've seen all time.
Yeah, the top five centers of like our generation.
Oh, I thought you were just saying top five players we've seen.
Oh no! Top five centers. I went top five centers of like my the last 30 years.
Although that is a good question.
I have that's a good one too. For my top five centers, I have Hakeem, Shaq, Ewing, Robinson, and Dwight Howard.
People are going to give you heat for Dwight, but like...
Yeah, but people forget
how good Dwight was when he...
I mean, he was...
I mean, he's still kind of good now. I mean, I'll get heat for that, but he's actually kind of good in his own way.
I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, he's going into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot.
I'm getting random thoughts in my head right now, so I'm going to spew them out because I want to talk about it.
All right.
The Melo hoodie debate.
I love it.
Hoodie
Melo, not as good as number 15 Melo though. Number 15 Melo is still the best Melo version.
Yeah, I saw you tweet that, but like I was like, have some fun because I'm totally on board with hoodie Melo being.
Oh, I want him to be looking like Greg Jennings out there. Like if Greg Jennings can wear a fucking hoodie for playing receiver for the Packers. Like let fucking Melo wear a hoodie underneath his Knicks jersey.
Hoodie Melo is the greatest thing that happened in the NBA this summer. And also, you know, obviously who's the trainer, C. Brickley or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Like he is boosting his follower count right now, like these videos. Like it's so smart of him.
Yeah. Oh, here's LeBron, KD, and Hoodie Melo playing together.
Yeah, hey everybody, look at these cool guys that I trained. They're playing some basketball. Wanna check it out?
And it's like they're long Instagram videos too. It's like a minute long.
He's giving us the goods, man. It's awesome. I sit in bed before I go to sleep, and I go through the house of highlights that I missed for the day. I don't follow any of the counts. I just go back and I watch what happened, and I get a good minute of watching LeBron, KD, and Melo. And obviously, there's some others that I noticed in the video. I think Dante Jones was in there. Who else was in there? I don't know if you saw, but Hoodie Melo rocks. LeBron is still amazing. Like he's just a monster. He's just a monster. And then KD and LeBron balling together, like a couple months after dueling it out in the NBA finals. I don't know. People nowadays hate that. I love it. I think it's cool. Like I would be doing that, dude.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
I know it doesn't bother you, but you know, it bothers a lot of people.
Oh, I know. And those people are dumb.
They're like,
I will call you dumb.
It's the same people who are like, you know, like, oh, I miss the days of this and the hand checking and Michael Jordan
jumped
the rings.
No, you don't. And then they complain when it actually happens. Like, oh, it's a ref show. And it's like, well, this is – you said you wanted – then they complain about – I'm sorry. They complain about not getting the foul calls. Like,
their
player drives the lane and gets knocked down. Like, well, where's the foul? And it's like, hey, this is what you wanted. Like, basketball was ugly in the 90s. I loved it, but basketball was fucking ugly in the 90s.
So ugly, dude.
Like the Knicks,
so ugly.
The Knicks
no heat, flow, no
the
rhythm.
The Knicks Heat games were just bloodbaths. Like, the average score was, like, 78-72 in an NBA game in playoffs.
I just don't understand, like, how people enjoy that. I mean, for some reason, I did too. I love watching the NBA classics. And
a lot of it too is like the personalities. I mean, think about like the players in the '90s. There was really good personalities, like easy people to cheer for, like the Charles Oakleys of the world, the Sean Kemps of the world, the Scottie Pippins,
or the people that you hated that you loved.
Right. Like I'm not even naming like the big guys. Yeah. Not naming like the Jordans of the world, obviously, but like, yeah, like Reggie Miller, like he was easy, someone that you either loved or you hated. There's no in between.
No in between.
Same thing with John Starks.
One of my favorite 30 for 30s was Winning Time.
That was a great 30 for 30. I fucking that. Reggie Miller is one of my five least favorite people in the world.
I love
not
Reggie.
Even athletes. Like if I could punch five people in the face in the world, Reggie Miller makes that list.
I love Reggie, man. Reggie's awesome.
Reggie's the fucking worst. He's also a garbage-ass commentator. He's overhyped. He's the worst Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer, but he's the worst one in there. And he fucking sucks. I hate Reggie Miller.
I wish people could see you right now. I've never seen you. You're shook, man. I've never seen you like this.
I eat it. Reggie Miller. I would punch him. Like, he's one of the five people. Of all the people in the world, I would punch Reggie Miller. If I had five options.
Okay, now you've clearly stated your, you know, animosity towards him. Can you explain where it comes from?
Being a Knicks fan.
Just being a Knicks fan. Okay, I didn't know if he was like he did, like he said something that set you over the edge. But dude,
no, it was all the '90s with him.
That Winning Time documentary. I suggest people watch it just so you can see how awesome Reggie was, like that he talked shit and like
how awesome that rivalry was.
Choke sign. That rivalry was awesome. Also, in light of everything that happens, I hope those people have hibernated because they're scary. They're probably leading the KKK charge right now.
Yeah.
The Indiana fans, dude, they were whack.
They sure were.
They had like pitchforks and shit. Like that was scary.
I think he's a horrible commentator. Like I hate watching games when he's calling.
I enjoy it. I think he's got
the worst. You're the only person I've ever heard say they enjoy listening to Reggie Miller talk.
I think he like just because
nothing.
He brings opinions that like are kind of just kind of out there, and he just kind of goes with it. And I respect it.
He complains about people kicking their leg out to draw a foul, and that's what that motherfucker lived on. That's the only reason he's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's the only reason why.
It sure as shit is.
That's the only reason why.
He's the worst.
Dude, he had a burner. And he was just fearless.
The worst.
And I actually took one of his moves that was coming off a screen. He would just stop.
Falling down?
I love it. I love it.
Falling down. That was your move. That's what you learned from Reggie Miller.
Yes, that was. That was one of my moves.
Fuck Reggie Miller with all
that. I also learned like the good old Jordan Taylor, which was run down the lane, hook the defender's arm, and act like they grabbed you.
Oh, yeah. One of my guys, I played high school with. He's a coach now at the D3 level. He was notorious. He was one of the best shooters I've ever seen, pure shooter. And he was notorious. Like, we'd run him along the baseline off of two double down screen or double screens across the baseline. And when he got in between the first and second, he would take two defenders and lock his arms up into them and then just start screaming and, like, kicking his knees up and would draw three fouls a game.
I love it.
It was so bad too. Like the
but did moved. You like it?
Oh, I loved it because he was my
teammate. Oh, so you like Reggie Miller then?
No,
because so
Reggie Miller wasn't my teammate. And I would just look, and it just became a joke. Like we would be like, all right, how many times do you think you can draw a foul doing that tonight?
Honestly, Jordan Taylor averaged a good 10 points points per game just from free throws. When he got close to the 1-on-1, he would attack defenders. He would literally follow them just to get to the free throw line, but he would draw the foul. It was unbelievable. It's an art.
It's
a science.
It's hard to do.
You can't just like be like, all right, I'm gonna go do it right. You end up like messing up or running someone over.
Right. I hate Reggie Miller. Who's your least favorite basketball player ever? Who's your least favorite NBA player ever?
My least favorite NBA player ever.
And you can't say Aaron Harrison.
He's my least favorite college player ever.
Well,
I don't consider him
NBA, so I just assumed you would say that too.
I don't consider him an NBA player.
Who's your least favorite NBA player?
Campaign is easy to throw on that bus right now, just because he's so bad and so funny to watch at the same time.
And he was so good in college, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what you get at Murray State, right?
Yep, Murray State.
Man, that's a tough question. I really don't not like a lot of people. Because a lot of them I end up respecting something about their game because they got to that level and I'm like, I see why.
I don't care about that. I mean, I
you just pick people out to hate them.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Like, I should say that. I do, like, I acknowledge that they are really fucking good to make the NBA, but I still hate you.
Shit, I feel like there's someone and but that's the thing. I'm just such a loving person, Riggs, that I don't want to hate anybody.
No, you're such an asshole.
No, I'm the asshole.
Yeah, you heard me. You're the asshole.
Listen to yourself, man.
Oh. All right, let's move on. I'm still heated from speaking of,
your chair is like rocking back and forth. It is. You are just so heated.
It is. I can't sit still, and I'm in my recliner, which rocks a little bit. Let's move on because Reggie Miller was a bad player and just a bad person. Your boy, friend of the show, Frank Kaminsky, don't know if people have ever heard of him before, asked on Twitter to Fundamentally Sound, which you can follow at Fundamentally SD, why is Josh Gasser, I know, I did that on purpose, a bad friend, which I don't know, I'm not friends with Josh, you are though.
All right, this is the most petty story ever, in a way. So, back in June, Frank texted a bunch of us because we obviously want to get together and like have like reunions in the summer with, you know, all the guys we played with and do that every year. And I'm totally on board for that because right. Why not? It's going to be a shit ton of fun. And I mean, last year when we did it, we literally like would grab bottles from out, you know, from the bar and like they would give it to us just to like pour shots down each other's throats.
And you can only do it for so many years.
Exactly.
And then people get married or
and then you still do it, but it's just different. You got to strike while the iron's hot where yep. Like you can all just be boys and go do what you used to do. So we did that last year and Frank texted us in June and we set aside a time to go do it on a Friday. Then Sam's like retirement thing came up and you know we were all going to do that and Frank had a camp in Kenosha. And Josh, you know, was going to go up north to a cabin. This is literally the stupidest story ever. I mean, I guess people will want to hear this. So I'll keep telling it in a way. So we all go do Sam's thing in Sheboygan, thinking we're all going to go back to Madison that night. But apparently Josh didn't want to go from Madison to Sheboygan, back to Madison for the night, back to Sheboygan first thing in the morning after being out till 3 a.m., then another 3 hours up north. Which I get to a point, but I'm just crazy. I wake up at 6 a.m., like, and if we have a chance to all be together, I would have sacrificed it, went up to Sheboygan, went back to Madison, went out till 3, woke up at 6, and then went up north. Josh is a little more regimented. That's how he's always been. Frank was so mad that we weren't going to come – so mad just because Frank's Frank, which I love him, that we couldn't come back to Madison. And I tried to – you know, I wanted everyone to be together. So I was like, Frank – you're in Kenosha, best of both worlds, come up to Sheboygan after your camp and we can all be together. And then he just went freaking sideways. And it's hilarious. Like he sent us a Snapchat that night at the next night at the bar. There was a picture of the Sports Illustrated that Josh and him were on. And he sent us a snap and it opened up and said, "Fuck Josh." So now it's just kind of this run-in thing where he hates Josh, and I think he's actually he's mostly upset that we couldn't all be together, and I get it. And so I will do my best to bring everyone back together.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it should be.
It's still kind of funny. Like we all kind of love it. Josh kind of does. At the same time, he's also like, well, maybe he does hate me, but he doesn't.
Who's the oldest head of the group?
I am.
Oh God.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I thought of the compromise. I was like, Frank, come up to Sheboygan. I turned 26. And like obviously you're not gonna think that's old, but in relative terms to like
you're like my wife's
guys. You know, Shoei just got engaged and he's 23 and here I am, the old wise guy.
I could not imagine being engaged at 23.
Yeah. Shout out to Shoei and Annie. They're
yeah,
awesome.
Congrats. I couldn't picture it, but congrats.
You couldn't have done it. I get
it. No. All right, let's move on. I like this question. This came in late as we were kind of getting ready to record here. It's the best 1-2 punch.
Yeah, before we get to that, I want to stick for my – like, you know, we got all those Wisconsin people listening. Let's stick to
Minnesota.
Real quick, Minnesota, and then what are your expectations for the season?
And
having
then, yeah, then we can do the 1-2 punch and talk about Bagley. All right, we'll do that.
Punch back. Cool. So real quick.
Edit this out. Make this sound cool. Make this sound cool, Tommy. Edit this out. yeah, let's do Minnesota. Obviously, they have a lot of hype coming into this year, especially for Minnesota basketball, like compared to what we're used to seeing with Minnesota basketball, where it's like maybe they're a tournament team, maybe they make a sneak into the top 25 at some point, or they're rebuilding and going up through the NIT. Like, they're never really perceived as a Final
legit
Four contender. Yeah, like a Final Four contender.
I don't think they're a Final Four contender, but they're a threat.
Yeah, right. That's more what I mean when I say contenders. The ability to make the Final Four.
They have a very outside chance. But here's the nature of the question. He said, unfortunately, do we have to respect Minnesota basketball this year?
The correct answer is yes.
No. See, my answer is no. The correct answer is no. Why do you have to respect them? They haven't done anything yet. They haven't given me a reason to. When they make a push or do something where I'm like, okay, I respect them now, I will.
What would that require?
That would require, honestly, like finishing second in the Big Ten and then
– But is that fair with the unbalanced schedules?
No, it's not. But it is at the same time. So they finish there. They make a run in the Big – like they have to do something to catch by and then make a Sweet 16.
I would say, what if they finish top four in the Big Ten, lose in like the let's say they finish third, they lose to the number two seed Michigan in the Big Ten semifinals and make a Sweet 16, and they're like the five seed in the NCAA tournament.
Still wouldn't make me respect them if they did this, and they wouldn't have to go back to a Sweet 16 the next year if they were. They have to do something, dude. They have to do something. I take that back. They would have to win a Big Ten title of some fashion and then repeat a little bit of what they did if they made it to a Sweet 16, where I'd be like, I respect them now. Because every team can make a blue moon run.
Well, I think it's just this year. Because the question is just this year. Do we have to respect Minnesota basketball this year?
But I still think the nature of the question is, like, because they haven't been respected, like, Is this the turning point year? Is the way I'm reading into it, because that's how I think Wisconsin fans look at it. But either way, the answer is no.
I mean, they're gonna be good.
It's still preseason. It's still preseason. They're gonna be okay.
They're gonna be good this year. Like Nate Mason's a legit All-American candidate.
I am not disagreeing, but the answer is still no. Moving on to Wisconsin. Because I'm the Wisconsin voice, and I'm taking over for that one.
Two completely different trajectories here when you go from Minnesota year over year, Minnesota last year to this year, and Wisconsin last year to this year.
Yeah, kind of like this is Coach Guard's test. He has a test now. He was handed the team from Bo. He did some good things with a lot of talent for 2 years, two Sweet 16s.
Had a lot of experience too.
But now what? Yeah. They're on a foreign trip to New Zealand right now, which is going to be great for learnings. But this is still a test. You have one guy who's a lock. That lock is Ethan Happ. To me, you have two guys who's a lock. He's got to make the jump, a Khalil Iverson type. Then you have a Dimitri Trice, I think a Brevin Pritzel, and then the four spot is completely up for grabs, wherever people are going to be rotating. That, to me, doesn't sound very optimistic, but at the end of the day, I'm still going to stick to my guns until it doesn't happen. Top four of the Big Ten. They have a tough schedule, though. I just looked at it.
Yeah, I don't think they finished top four.
Part of me is second-guessing it. Oop, there goes my microphone. But at the end of the day, until that streak has ended, I'm sticking with the streak. Finishing fourth of the Big Ten.
It's got to end at some point. I think it ends this year.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, time will tell. But at the end of the day, they're going to finish anywhere from six to four.
I'm curious to see how Ethan Happ does this year. Like, I was all in on Happ last year. Like, I had him preseason Big Ten Player of the Year and Big Ten All-American. Like, I was all in on Ethan Happ last year.
Uh-huh.
I worry a little bit this year without Bronson there to kind of take away defenders from the paint and just this is now Ethan Happ's team.
Yeah, and it's not that you don't believe in Ethan Happ's ability, you just
right.
don't.
It's going to be a whole different role.
It's a whole different ball game with the guys around him.
And I like Trice. I really like Trice. The thing is, I really like Trice coming off the bench last year. I'm interested to see what he looks
can
like.
He be,
as
can
a
he be
starter.
The
right.
guy?
Right.
Yeah, that's a big question.
He has to make the jump. Pritzel has to make the jump. Iverson has to make all.
There's a lot of guys who got to make the jump.
Three guys have to make the jump.
And in Bo's history, that worked. In guard's history, we've never seen it.
We don't know. And it's always tough. I mean, when you have two guys and really three guys, but Koenig, Showalter, and Hayes, who saw a ton of shit during their time, like, that made that transition to guard that much easier.
Even Vito Brown to an extent.
And Vito, right. But those things, like, that's something guard could rely on is, hey, I can count on these guys. They've been there before. They've seen this.
Yeah.
It's different, man.
To his credit, he did, like, strip it down and go from the ground up, but it's
sure.
different.
But
and
you still have that backbone there.
I think we're all intrigued, and I think the nature of the question is – I think he's intrigued in this question, and we are too. So my prediction is anywhere from 6th to 3rd.
Yeah, I think it's more – I think 6 sounds about right. Five or six, I think, sounds right to me.
All right, cool. And we covered that. On to the best 1-2 punch. I'm going to let you handle this. I didn't really get to research this or think about it too much. I didn't see you write this down. I thought we were done with the questions.
Yeah, this came in
late.
So go ahead. This came in late. I thought it was a good question. Because college, it's similar and it's not similar to NBA. Like, in NBA, you need a star to compete. And you need multiple stars to win a title, right? Like, we've seen that happen. When you look back throughout history, there's always a star to compete and multiple that win. College, I do think you need a star to win a title. Having a 1-2 punch obviously helps too. So looking at this, I thought, okay, who are two guys that can lead a team to a title, you know? Come to the NCAA tournament, you can put the ball in their hands, and they can go win you games. I came up with a list of some people here. I had, right off the bat, I thought Bagley at Duke, and I paired him with Trayvon Duval just because he's going to be the most important piece to that Duke roster.
DeAndre, shot to the heart by Grayson Allen.
I mean, Grayson might be the right choice there, but I think Duval is the most important piece because Duval needs to play well for Duke to be good at the point guard spot. Like, he's the first time since Tyus Jones they've had a legit point guard. Like, they're not running Grayson at point. Like, they can let him play off the ball.
They can let him play his natural position.
Right, right. So
they don't have to point guard by committee.
I threw up Bagley and Duval. I have DeAndre Ayton, Alonzo Trier from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thought of two that might surprise you. Three that might surprise you. I'll give you five. Bruce Brown and Lonnie Walker from Miami. Landry Shamet.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think of them, to be honest.
Yeah. Landry Shamet and Marcus McDuffie from Wichita State.
Wichita State, yeah. That's a good one because they'll have a challenge and we'll actually see what they got here in this new conference.
And the last one for the five that I'll give out, Bonzi Colson and Matt Farrell from Notre Dame.
Matt Farrell is such a Notre Dame player.
He is. But those two, I mean, you talk about
Bonzi
two guys.
Bonzi Colson's a beast, man.
And you talk about two guys returning. Like, Matt Farrell is really good. Notre Dame always has a guard that makes a jump.
Colson could put up some Caleb Swanigan numbers this year.
Yeah, I mean, Colson's going to be an All-American in the preseason. But you look at, like, Notre Dame guards. It started with Jeremy Grant. Like, Grant made the jump. Or Jeremy, I'm sorry. Well, and really in terms of, I'm talking about, like, the jump just to the next year. Like, Jeremy Grant did it, and then Demetrius Jackson did it, and then Matt Farrell did it, and someone's going to do it this year.
It's like Mike Bray's got his own farm system.
He does. Mike Bray's such a good coach, too. I love Mike Bray. So those are the kind of the 5-1-2 punches I came up with. You can pretty much toss out. I was trying to think, like, okay, what two from Kentucky? I didn't know what two to pick. You can throw any two out there, and they're in a list. You know, like Joel Berry and like Theo Pinson, maybe you can throw out there.
Yeah, but are they really a good one? Like they're not a good 1-2 punch.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was trying to think.
If it was Joel Berry and Justin Jackson, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's a 1-2 punch.
Right, and then like Michigan State, you could throw out like Miles Bridges and Nick Ward, or Miles Bridges and Cassius Winston. I just didn't really know who to put with Bridges for that list.
He's like a 1-1 combo.
Well, they're deep. Like they just.
Yeah, they just got that's Izzo for you. They're gonna have a bunch of guys who this year are outside of Bridges who like average 10 to 12.
Right. And then for Kansas, you know, you could tell me, like, Devontae Graham and Malik Newman, like, their backcourt. Like, that would be another one. Man, it's going to be awesome. Like, there's a lot of talent in college basketball this year again.
Yeah, thanks to Porters and Mr. Bagley.
Marvin Bagley. He didn't care that I didn't sleep a lot on Tuesday night.
That was so annoying.
Monday night. Tuesday night. When the hell was it? Monday night. Yeah, Monday night. Today's Wednesday.
Monday night. Today's Wednesday. Monday night. Yeah.
That was long. Monday. Like, I was blogging that, so I was gonna blog. Luckily, I wrote up kind of like a Duke and a USC thing, so I could just copy it once he did it.
Yeah, I mean it was a given he was going to Duke.
It really wasn't though.
Yeah, but it was. I know it wasn't, but like at the end of the day, looking at those three schools, hearing there's family in Durham, done deal. Who wouldn't go to Duke in that situation?
I know. I mean,
I get it.
I still thought it was going to be USC. I still thought it was going to be USC.
No.
Duke's going to be the preseason favorite to win it now. They already are, according to Vegas.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did Vegas do?
They dropped them to like 3-1.
I think it was 7-1 to 3-1.
Yeah, Duke and Kentucky are both 7-1, and they dropped them to 3-1.
Sorry, not taking it still. I'm
not
sold.
3-1? No.
I'm just not sold on the makeup of the team. There's a ton of talent, but like, what's the team going
to play? Here's the thing. Bagley does give them the correct fit. Like in the starting five, like they have.
They had a point guard. They had Grayson Allen.
They have wings, and they have now a post. I don't like their depth at the backcourt. Like they can bring in like Marcus Bolden off the bench still for some front court help. They really don't have a lot of help in the backcourt.
Yeah, but Grayson's going to play 30 minutes a game.
Right, but what happens if he gets in foul trouble? What happens if him and Duvall are in foul trouble?
Luke Kennard's going to morph into somebody's body.
Right. So that's my concern with them, and I just don't like taking teams at 3-1 to win it all.
Spooky
as the NCAA tournament.
That is the worst bet in the history of bets. Please tell me no one placed that bet.
Somebody will. I mean, a bunch of people will, but 3-1 to win the flukiest
3-1 in a winner take all nut job tournament.
Were you
stupid
in the preseason where you don't even know who's being injured and matchups
or
don't matter?
Hurt.
Like,
yeah, that is insane.
Unless they go like undefeated, unless they do the Kentucky and go dominant undefeated into the tournament, you can probably get the same odds come the NCAA tournament.
Even if they went in undefeated, it would still be 3-1.
No, they would drop. Like they'd be like even money. If they run the ACC undefeated, they'd be.
You know what I mean though. It's like if it went to even money, it's still a terrible bet.
For sure, but I'm saying at least you can see the matchups.
Yeah,
at least
but
you can like, all right, I know who's in, I know who's hurt, I know who's not hurt.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're getting closer to college basketball season. You know how I know it's close to college basketball season?
How?
Because football's around. And honestly, when football's around, basketball's right around the corner.
It is.
It's weird. I'm excited for football, and I don't know if I told you this. I don't tell the world this. And I did tweet about it. The Wisconsin-Notre Dame game in 2020 and 2021.
At Lambeau?
The 2020 game at Lambeau is on my actual birthday. So that's going to be just stupid. And then the next year will be my 30th birthday. It's a week before, but I'll still probably use it as a good excuse to go to it. And then this year I'm going to Bears-Packers with some buddies and my brother. Bears-Packers Thursday night at Lambeau. Friday going back to Madison to golf. Saturday going to Wisconsin Northwestern. Pray for me.
Yeah, that's going to be a rough weekend.
But amazing at the same time.
Oh, right, right. But you're going to – that's a weekend that you'll feel for a week.
Three bottles of Pedialyte, like, waiting for me.
Eh, you're 26. You should be able just to pop some Excedrin and call it a day.
Oh, man. I used to be, but
you
I think
– since... It's 27. You start really feeling it at 27.
It's just – I think it's just because I stopped working out as much.
Maybe.
I don't know. I must not have as much – cells fighting off my hangovers. I usually just my new system is now I get up at like 6. I'm still drunk, full of energy and adrenaline, and then by get home or get somewhere by 9 and eat breakfast, and then I just feel miserable after.
Man,
just miserable.
I've been living by this now for the last couple months, and I love this. And it is daytime is for drinking, nighttime is for sleeping. It's my new favorite motto.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Because
I can't sleep in. Like, I'm like you. I'm wide awake by 7 a.m.
No, I hear you on that system. Because Friday nights are, like, the time to sleep nowadays.
I don't like going out on Fridays.
I hate it, man.
I'm exhausted.
I'm tired. Leave me alone. Like, I don't want to fester up a bunch of energy after I just gave all my energy this week. Like, I want to go... wake up at like 7 o'clock and go, yes, I can go back to sleep for another 2 hours. And I'm not.
And the other thing, me, like 80%, 75% of my friends are either married, engaged, or
have their life together.
A super long term relationship. So it's very few people who are like, oh no, I want to stay out to the bar at like 2 a.m. It's like, we're not on the prowl anymore where it's like, no, it doesn't matter. Like, I can go home at 10 o'clock and not miss anything.
At the same time, though, it's fun to do that.
It is. What I've learned, though, is when the time is special. Right.
Yes.
Like, a couple weeks ago, like, we shut the bar down, and I was like, all right, that was really fun. I also don't want to do that for another, like...
I don't want to do that for another month to...
Right.
Exactly.
Like, once every 6 weeks is, like, good for me.
But even a month, because you're still recovering for, like, 2 weeks from that.
I'm pretty good with recovering just because I'm like, whatever. I sleep when I sleep.
Power through.
Yeah, it's just more like Friday. I'm just like, I kind of want to go to bed early on Friday. And then, like, especially now with EPL back up, start drinking, like, when Tottenham plays, if they play on Saturday morning.
Got to have one for the boys.
You do.
That was not meant to be a pun, but I guess it could be.
It did work out well. Anything else?
That's it, man. That went quick. Thanks everyone for the questions. Obviously follow us, Fundamentally SD. I'm guessing if you listen, you probably already do.
If you haven't,
please help us out. Exactly. Fundamentally SD.
Subscribe and review too.
Subscribe and review.
We have a lot more followers than we do
reviews.
Reviews.
Yeah. No, so I'm getting some t-shirts. Thought about how we're going to make those. Queen City Exchange coming up. Let me know if we have any Wisconsin students, suggest some bars that you want me to contact, because I'll be able to contact them. And I want to do it based off demand. Let me know where we should try and do a live show, and I'll make it happen.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, somebody said this today, like, hey, would you guys come to Minnesota? Like, for the Final Four, I was like, yeah, if a bar wants to host us, you bet your ass we'll go there. That goes for everything. If you want,
I'm going to the Final Four the rest of my life every year or so.
If you want us to sponsor, if you want to be a sponsor, yeah, reach out. If you want us to come to your bar and talk to people, reach out. I am very shallow. I will do a lot for a little bit of something.
And you have open DMs.
I have very open DMs. It leads to some weird-ass DMs, like somebody asking me where I went to high school and my full name and if we have Facebook mutual friends. I'm like, I'm not sending you my Facebook page.
Oh, yeah, I just added you on LinkedIn today.
Yeah, that was a very old, washed-up move. I got, like, that email. Like, I hardly check LinkedIn, but, apparently I still get it to my email, and I was like, Ben Bruss sent you a LinkedIn request, and I was like, what?
Okay. Old man move right there.
So,
all right, cool, that's it. I got nothing else. You got nothing else?
Shout-out Tommy and Matt one more time. In our bio, they're Twitter handles are there. Tommy does our editing. Matt does our social. Shoot them a follow. They bust their ass to help us out. And they don't need to, but they do a great job. So
let's keep the momentum rolling. And like I said, sponsor Water Joe's coming on. Just got to finalize the fine print. We'll do some stuff for them coming up. Sponsors, everyone else listening, thank you for tuning in. Reeves, last chance for last words.
No, let's go. Next week.
Next week. We'll talk to you soon. Later, y'all.